640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Terrifying moments in Clearwater, Florida.
All I seen was a white ball coming down.
Several people were killed when a small plane crashed into a mobile home park. The FAA says the pilot had reported engine failure before the V-35 disappeared from radar just north of the local airport. Fire Chief Scott Ehlers.
During that conversation with their tower lost it off the radar and at 3 miles north of the runway, and some of the ARP units responded this way when they saw the fire.
They're flooded out in California. A powerful storm has brought torrential rain not only to the north but to the south too. Floodwaters rose several feet deep in places like Long Beach, and CBS meteorologist David Parkinson says the worst is yet to come Sunday.
The real concern, and this is no joking matter, everyone, this is not an amount of rain that Southern California can handle. It's really not an amount of rain that anywhere can handle, but we are looking at least 9 inches of rain, particularly in the Santa Barbara area over into Ventura County.
A new threat from Iran. In an address today, President Raisi said his country won't start a war, but will respond strongly to anyone who tries to bully Iran. It comes on the heels of U.S. plans to attack Iranian sites in Iraq and Syria in retaliation for the drone strike that killed 3 American soldiers in Jordan. President Biden will comfort their families at a dignified transfer at Dover Air Force Base today. A teenager is being charged as an adult for alleged swatting calls. Correspondent Jeff Pegues.
Investigators say the 17-year-old California resident has been calling in numerous disturbing and fake threats. Last May, he allegedly threatened a mosque in Seminole County, Florida, adding gunfire in the background. He's allegedly targeted Washington State, Texas, Florida, and Maryland.
Voters in South Carolina cast first ballots in the Democratic primary tomorrow. Burning question, though, could impact turnout.
How many Democrats will decide to wait and vote in the South Carolina GOP primary February 24th? State Democratic leaders are urging against that.
We encourage you to get out and just vote, 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 vote. If you're not registered, get registered so that you'll be able to vote, and your vote does count.
Cassie Nelson Wright heads up the Democratic Party in Clarendon County, South Carolina. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
A first read on the economy since the Fed decided to leave interest rates untouched. Bankrate's Mark Hamrick on this morning's jobs report.
The consensus is we'll see slower hiring, falling short of the 216,000 jobs added in December.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Museums in Wisconsin are scrambling to comply with a new federal rule that makes them get permission from tribal nations before displaying certain Native American artifacts. The new rule means significant changes for museums in other parts of the country, but less so in Wisconsin. The universities of Wisconsin may not be done closing in-person classes at two-year branch campuses.
I anticipate there will be more two-year campuses closed down. It's going to be painful, though. I think Jay and the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible.
Governor Evers speaking at a WISP politics luncheon this week. A total of 4 two-year colleges will stop offering in-person classes after this spring. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers trade Corbin Burnes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers have traded their ace pitcher, Corbin Burnes, to the Baltimore Orioles in exchange for a left-handed pitcher, DJ Hall, infielder Joey Ortiz, and a future draft pick. Last February, Burnes upset with the Brewers organization after during an arbitration meeting, they blamed him for not reaching the playoffs in 2022.
Had the hearing all day Tuesday, spent Valentine's Day on a plane, got home at 10, 11 o'clock, and got to see my wife before she fell asleep.
tape, so that was kind of how the Valentine's Day went. So that was fun. But yeah, like I say, you kind of find out your true value.
We spoke with Brewers general manager Matt Arnold.
Look, anytime you trade a guy like Corbin, it's always a difficult decision. I think the overarching theme here is that we're excited about the players we're getting back.
NFL Brian Gutekunst says poor play in the secondary is partly what led to them firing Joe Barry and hiring Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to 38 for a high this afternoon, with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 32 for a low. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high of 39. Sunday, sunny and a bit warmer with a high of 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Hey, everybody, this is Todd Allball. At noon on Friday, Trigby Olson is in the host chair. Don't miss it. Going to be a great show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Okay, campers, rise and shine, and don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today.
It's cold out there today. What's this, Miami Beach?
Not hardly. And, you know, you can expect hazardous travel later today with that, you know, that blizzard thing.
That blizzard thing. Oh, well, here's reporting the National Weather Service is calling for a big blizzard thing.
Yes, they are. But, you know, there's another reason why today is especially exciting.
Especially cold.
Especially cold. Okay, but the big question on everybody's lips. On their chap lips, rather. Do you think Phil is going to come out and see a shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil?
That's right. Woodchuck Chuckers, it's
Groundhog's Day! I missed
Boy, that did not exactly go like it did in rehearsal. Oh, wait, we didn't rehearse that.
We didn't rehearse it all. And I totally didn't realize there was a whole other part to that.
a whole page two.
Well, that's the end of my theater career, everybody.
Well, that's it. The Up North News Radio Performing Arts players have concluded their session for today. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's now coming up on 6:08, and yes, it's February 2nd, 2024, Groundhog Day, and another beautiful day to welcome you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, and wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the app, social media, podcast. Great to have you along today. Greg Bach is down there in Waukesha playing the role of winter, because it's the little light snow down there. Yeah. So it's got to be snowing somewhere.
Yep.
So look at Roger on Facebook.
You know what, Roger?
Don't quit your day job. You know what, Roger?
You know what, Roger? You're right.
Yes, he is. Oh, I hate when he's right. I have been with that song going through my head, the Sonny and Cher one, because I made a TikTok video yesterday about Groundhog Day. And about how the Wisconsin legislature, they've been working on a tax cut for the very wealthy. And then Governor Evers would veto it. And then they came back a second time and he vetoed it. Then a third time. And I thought that has the makings of a video. So I was very, very fortunate that Sherry was home, could be my photographer. So I could put on my proper jammies and get out of bed a few different times. And that was how I spent my yesterday, was working on a Groundhog Day themed video.
Excuse me, I'm going to go look up your TikTok account right now.
I hope that you enjoy it. Coming up on the program today, we are going to continue our series of interviews with candidates in the 3rd Congressional District. As you know, we talked to Representative Katrina Shanklin on Wednesday, Rebecca Cook on Thursday. We talked to Eric Wilson today, coming up at 7:05. And so if you want to listen back to the interviews with Representative Shanklin and with Becca Cook, just head over to civicmedia.us and head to the Up North News Radio show page, where you can look at all of our past episodes broken down hour by hour. You can also do that as a podcast, not just on the Civic Media website, but Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to have you along for, you know, the show and listening back to some of those interviews that we've done in the past. If you'd like to join us this morning and let us know if you see your shadow later on today, our number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. And again, while you're over at the Civic Media website, you can download the app, which enables you to listen to all the different stations, because some have different programs on at different times. You can call in to a show through the app. You can text the show through the app. Email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put a comment like Roger just did on Facebook, either through the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page, and we'd love to have you around. Also, coming up, we're going to talk about how for more than a decade, voters have been subjected to gerrymandered maps when choosing members of the Wisconsin legislature in the Assembly and the Senate. Now, not only are the current gerrymandered maps going away, but two experts working on new boundaries have already weighed in on the two proposed Republican maps as being about as bad as what's in place right now. So quite the smackdown on conservatives who don't appear to want to go willingly in the job of bringing fairer maps to Wisconsin voters. A theme in our second hour is why newspapers can't have nice things. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel becomes the latest news outlet to, I would say belatedly, shut down its comment section, succumbing to the already obvious notion that when it comes to comment sections, it is impossible for the few to grow flowers in a place where so many are willing to dump their manure. And in Chicago, newspaper workers stage a historic walkout to protest corporate ownership that has slashed and burned a once proud industry. So all of that coming up, as well as a few sports notes. If you maybe heard it from Mike at the top of the hour there, or maybe you didn't, Corbin Burns is no longer a Milwaukee Brewer. And the Badger men's basketball team had a collapse of literally historic proportions that we'll get into as well. It's just one of those days, Greg, where as I was looking at the various coffee mugs, I just said today was a Roy Kent coffee mug kind of day. Because again, whistle. I can hold up. Whistle!
Whistle!
I can hold up the Roy Kent coffee mug, but I can't say some of the things that Roy Kent says that dance through my head this early in the morning.
Don't worry. Well, no, I don't have the censor button. Never mind. No, don't do it.
No, please don't. No dump button. Hey, you have it's Friday, so you have a weekend of things to do in that other gig of yours over at the Laughing Tap. What you doing?
Well, first I'm going to drink a drink to our friend Corbin Burnson, who...
Oh, I was going to get... Not Corbin Burnson.
Sorry.
Although he was in a baseball movie, so that would work out well. Yeah. But anyway, yes.
Point, yeah. So Laughing Tap this weekend, we have Josh Adam Myers here. He's coming back. He was here last year. Very, very popular, very fun. Kind of a rock and roll element. He did a show where you do stand-up, and then you wouldn't karaoke. You would sing a song with a live band.
Oh, I would love to do that.
Yeah, it's on. I think you can watch it on Paramount Plus. But he's gonna come. He's gonna do a stand up, and then after, like, he always has music at the end of a show. It's a lot of fun, high energy. Tickets are available for tonight's show and tomorrow's late show, but I believe tomorrow evening early is sold out. But LaughingTap.com. You know, Laughing Tap, wearing the t-shirt, wearing the hoodie.
Representing.
So, yeah, it's going to be a fun time. And then Maybell Obedience Class number 2.
Ooh. Is it a class in number 2 or is it just the second class?
No, right? I wish someone would help her with that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Temperatures around the area look like this at 614. It is 24 degrees up here on Lake Wasota, 25 in Hayward. Park Falls at 20. Wausau, 27. And a few places are reporting some fog, potentially freezing fog. And in Waukesha, there's some light snow falling there. Green Bay's at 31. La Crosse, 31. Wisconsin Rapids, 28. Oshkosh 31 degrees, Madison 30, and it's 30 in Waukesha as well. So, yeah, let's get to the couple of notes about sports here. First off, in Nebraska last night, the Cornhuskers erased an 18-point second-half deficit to beat the sixth-ranked Badger men's basketball team in overtime, 80-72. I was watching up until halftime, and, you know, since the year 2000, when Wisconsin has been up by 15 or more points at halftime, that's happened 120 times since 2000, and their record was 120-0 until last night. In the second half, the Badgers had only 11 field goals, but 10 turnovers, maybe getting ahead of themselves and looking toward that game on Sunday in Madison when they host second-ranked Purdue, and instead lost to lowly Nebraska in overtime, not the way that they wanted to carry any sense of momentum into their game coming up this weekend with the Boilermakers. And in baseball news, Corbin Burns is gone and Baltimore bound. The Orioles acquired the all-star right-hander from the Brewers last night. Milwaukee gets left-hander D.L. Hall, infield prospect Joey Ortiz, and a draft pick in exchange for Burns, the 2021 National League Cy Young Award winner. Burns has been pretty public about how this was probably going to be his last year as a Brewer, and then he could walk away, so the Brewers get something for him. But the trade of Burns and the decision to let Brandon Woodruff become a free agent means the Brewers entered the 2024 season without the two cornerstones of their rotation, Mr. Bach, which I know many people are not taking well. I'm again going to try to have the same attitude that I had with the Packer season of just enjoy because there's still some young talent there. But I'm not going to lie. These hurt. You know, this was an amazing rotation. And yes, you still have Freddie Peralta and some others, but this one stinks.
I don't think Freddie Peralta is as strong as a starter. I don't think they're going to have him starting, of course. He's a relief pitcher, but I mean, I'm not surprised, but I'm still upset. And I think the thing that really upsets me is, I mean, Corbin Burns went to arbitration over $650,000, and the Brewers, like, the Brewers wouldn't say, oh yeah, we'll give you an extra $650 because you're worth it. You're one of the best players in the league. And no, we had to go to arbitration over that. And to me, that was the end. I was surprised.
Oh, everybody's looked at that and said, what are you doing? And obviously, you know, Burns made clear that, you know, he took that one personally.
Yeah.
And rightly so. So yeah, you're right. It's not a surprise going back a year now, but still, not great, you know, especially with, you know, Craig Counsell up and going to the Cubs of all things.
Yeah.
So
I think we have some strong prospects. I think we have some strong prospects, and I want to see what Hook is going to do with his team. Cause now he's got kind of a team. Cause when he came in as pitching coach, he had all these guys that were there. Mm-hmm. And now it's sort of maybe a new fresher lineup he can mold from scratch. So we'll see.
Here's hoping. I'm willing to be, you know, surprised and again, still just enjoy again, any day with a good baseball game on in the background is a fine day by me. The Milwaukee Bucks are in Dallas tomorrow. You can catch that game across the Civic Media Radio Network on Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, 98Q Country in Park Falls, and I believe locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids as well. And again, just to remind you, some Civic Media stations will have the Badger men's basketball game against number 2 Purdue coming up on Sunday. We'll talk about the new proposals to replace the gerrymandered maps for Wisconsin voters choosing their legislators in just a bit. All across Wisconsin on this Friday morning Groundhog Day. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. Because we've got you. With local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a chore anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Graham Nash of the Hollies figures into today's history lesson, coming up in about a half hour here on this Friday morning on Up North News Radio. All right, let's reset where we are in terms of where voters in Wisconsin quite literally stand in terms of who represents them in the Wisconsin legislature. That's because yesterday was the day when consultants hired by the Wisconsin Supreme Court released their opinion on various new map proposals that were submitted to the court to redraw the legislative districts. And of those, they had fine things to say about four of them, two of them, not so much. So again, let's reset this for you. The voters have been subjected to maps that were essentially rigged back in 2011. They were drawn in a way that would give Republicans a wildly disproportionate share of legislative seats, disproportionate to their actual support statewide. Wisconsin's basically a 50-50 state. The Republicans were in the majority. Nobody would have objected if Republicans had drawn maps in 2011 and then 10 years later. That gave them, you know, 52, 55, 56 maybe percent of the seats. But the way they're drawn right now, Republicans have two-thirds of the seats in the Wisconsin State Senate and nearly two-thirds of the seats in the Assembly. And that's solely because of how the lines are drawn to maximize Republican votes. When you look at the statewide vote, they don't enjoy that level of support at all. That's a gerrymander. And for years, a conservative-led state Supreme Court said, you know, we see nothing wrong with this. After the election of Judge Janet Protasiewicz last year, the court had a new composition, looked at those maps, and said, what are we talking about here? Not only, you know, are they out of whack, but they are they don't even abide by the Wisconsin Constitution in terms of being contiguous. You know, you've got these little islands of land outside the main district, which is something that is not allowed in the Wisconsin Constitution by any plain reading of it. These older maps should not have ever existed, but they did, and they are finally changing after 12 years. So the state Supreme Court ruled that the current maps are unconstitutional and asked all of the parties in the case, not the two parties, Democratic, Republican, but there were something like six different parties, entities in the court case, and said to them, all right, all of you can submit how you would change the maps. We are going to hire a couple of experts to look at those proposals, and then we'll decide whether to adopt one of these proposals or tweak one of them. So Governor Evers put in a proposal. Democratic state senators put in a proposal. A couple of outside groups that were part of the lawsuit did. Republican legislators did, and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a right-wing legal group. So the consultants yesterday commented on the proposals and said that the plans submitted by Republican legislators and the conservative law firm are still rigged to the point where they qualify as being gerrymandered. They did not explicitly say the other four maps are constitutional. They simply said that, you know, you could improve upon any of those four maps and make it even more balanced. And it's up to you justices on the court to tell us, Do you want us to tweak these, or do you want to do the work yourself? And that's where we are at this point. Governor Evers hailed the report yesterday as confirmation of, you know, basically what we've known all along. He said, quote, "The days of Wisconsinites living under some of the most gerrymandered maps in the country are numbered. While this is just one step in this process, today is an important day for the people of Wisconsin, who deserve maps that are fair, responsive, and reflect the will of the people." Because under these maps, you know, Republicans have largely blocked any major policy initiatives of Evers and Democratic lawmakers for the past 5 years. And really, it's not even just being in the majority, but their behavior in there. You know, when the legislature was more balanced and when there were fewer extreme members in there, members of the minority party at any given point were still able to pass bills. They were still able to get committee hearings on bills, even if they weren't going to pass. But over the past few years that Republicans have controlled the chamber, not only are they not taking up any bills with a Democratic lead author, but nearly none of them are even getting a public hearing in committee, which is literally the least that you could do as a majority member to have some kind of veneer of fairness. And by the way, also confidence in your own ideas. If you think your ideas and your positions and your policies are best, you have nothing to fear by kicking around other people's ideas and defending yours and maybe even improving upon yours by saying, you know, I don't like 90% of what's in your bill, but I do like that part, and I think that we should incorporate it. And that might have happened here and there in the legislature, but not very much at all. The consultants on Thursday said that the maps from Legislative Republicans and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty are partisan gerrymanders. The Legislative Republicans map was virtually unchanged from what the current boundaries are. Again, just essentially thumbing their nose at the rule of law and saying, we're not even going to attempt to comply with this ruling. And all they've done really instead is play politics with it and say that, you know, basically a lot of projection. Everything that has been said about Republicans for the past 12 years, well, they just kind of turned it around and said, well, I know you are, but what am I? The consultants rejected Republican claims that the majorities are due to Democratic support being concentrated in cities, while the GOP has broader support in a larger geographic area. The consultants said that kind of insulation from the forces of electoral change is the hallmark of a gerrymander. To put it simply, geography is not destiny. And that's a great way of summing up how to respond to the many, 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 many times we have people on the Republican side of the aisle point to a map of the country or point to a map of the state, and you see all this red territory. Then they say, you see, we have so much support all throughout, you know, the Mountain West and all throughout rural Wisconsin, and land doesn't vote. Instead, there has been for more than a decade now this constant belittling of Wisconsin voters and American voters who live in cities, that cities are somehow less worthy of equal representation. Now, you would be right to fear, if you were in this case a Republican, that, you know, you could give outsized representation to city voters and city-based legislators. It's of course possible to gerrymander in the other direction, but that's not what we have right now. Right now, we have a party that will look at these cities, and instead of fighting for those votes and instead of fighting for those voters with positions and priorities, they instead look for ways to punish cities, make it harder to vote, make it harder to fund universities, make it harder to fund infrastructure. Again, when you can't win on your ideas, you cheat. And this was one way that was happening for over a decade. And it's finally in a process that is bringing it to a close. We'll have more of a national lens with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil coming up next, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
This report sponsored by Current Electric, home of the superhero. Current Electric, a pioneer in solar energy for residential and commercial in the state. Go to callcurrent.com.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Current Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Current Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Friday morning. The lift in cheese prices to start the week is a sign of traction in the export market. This is according to Matt Tranel. He's a broker analyst out of EverAg's Platteville office. While the news is positive, he's still cautious about how much volume of cheese is on the CME.
So I do think that we are finding some traction in buyers, but I do still think that there's quite a bit of volume to be sold on the CME Spot Dairy Index. We've really been in a downturn on cheese since August, and we saw a little pop in October, but quite frankly, we took prices all the way down to this 140, 150 area. When you look at our price versus the world, Oceania's up around 190, and the European Union's around 205. In November, we chipped off some really good export deals, and then as of recent, like 2 weeks ago, there was said to be some export deals that were getting done. And so, yeah, I do think we've cleaned up our spot inventory a little bit.
Matt Tranel along with us. He's a broker analyst with EverAg working out of their Platteville office. You can listen to the full conversation with Matt at MidwestFarmReport.com. Just click on our podcast page. Stick around for a look at our markets next.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodancevet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier. Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Yonke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video or call 888-557-1020 today.
On the close yesterday from Chicago, cash corn was down a penny at 447 and a quarter. December new crop corn also down a penny at 479 a bushel. Soybeans faded in the double digits because of low export demand. Cash beans down 19 cents at 1203 and a quarter, and November new crop beans closed down 14 and a quarter cents at 1185 and a half. July new crop wheat closed up 3.5 cents at 613 and three quarters. The Class 3 milk contracts rallied yesterday upwards of 40, 50, or 60 cents, depending on which one you were looking at. Barrel cheese closed up 2 cents at $1.54, and the 40-pound block cheese closed up a penny and three quarters at $1.66 and three quarters. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to 38 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 32 for a low. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high of 39. Sunday, sunny and a bit warmer with a high of 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now 30.
It's fully leaded education talk. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny, weeknights at 7 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back. Time to talk to our friend Kia Vakil, senior national correspondent, Courier Newsroom, out in Los Angeles, joining us as he does every Friday morning. Kia, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Boy, sometimes we talk about things that are happening in the dusty, hallowed halls of Congress or other Capitol buildings. You know, just the archaic language and the traditions. And this time we're going to talk Taylor Swift, because that seems to be the thing here leading, you know, for these 2 weeks into the Super Bowl. And really not so much about Tay-Tay and Travis themselves, but just this whole notion of how many folks love a good conspiracy or I don't even know if love or just believe them or what have you. It's just been a week that really reminds us sometimes you just don't know what's going to drive the news.
No, it is baffling the level to which the conspiracy theories surrounding Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce have taken over the right in the span of a week. We have media figures talking about how she's a government psyop or an agent of the Pentagon to help elect Democrats, how the playoffs have been rigged to help get them to the Super Bowl where she'll endorse Joe Biden, or to help because Travis Kelce was in a Pfizer commercial. This is all about getting people vaccinated and the relationship is fake. It is one of the most insane collections of conspiracy theories that I've ever seen. And that's saying a lot because these are the same people who spread QAnon and Pizzagate and the 2020 big lie. It's just a complete unreality of unrealities.
It is. And if nothing else, we occasionally need these reminders that we do, many of us still have Republican friends, conservative friends, and, you know, they're not all as vocal as, say, Liz Cheney, but I couldn't even have told you who the governor of Utah is until this week. But his name is Spencer Cox, the Republican governor of Utah, who said the 2024 election is going to be bad enough, quote, without us making up stupid stuff to fight about. Just let Travis and Taylor do their thing. Cheer for your team, cheer for football, listen to your music. Let's just take a deep breath and chill. And that, I got to say, is refreshing.
It is. It will also not be heated at all because take a deep breath and chill is not something that the party of Trump does or is capable of. You know, Trump himself is going to be out tens of millions of dollars because he literally could not stop himself from defaming somebody and attacking someone. Right. And so his party, his advisors, conservative media pundits, a lot of Republican office holders now are all just, that is, they are incapable of that.
And so they will continue to, you know, make up things or spread conspiracies about people. And for them, I've noticed so much of what they do is it's about people. It's about attacking people. And it's almost a break for them that they're not attacking Joe Biden, but they're always attacking somebody. And I think actually in place of the president, you instead have Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, who they're impeaching again for reasons that are almost conspiratorial.
Yeah, I mean, we know that Republicans are going to use the border and immigration as a cudgel and as a political weapon. They have done it every time, you know, an election has neared in the last, what, decade?
Here comes a convoy. Yep.
Yeah, here comes a caravan. Here comes a convoy. And look, there is, there are real issues at the border. Obviously, you know, I don't mean to minimize them, but they are issues that can only be solved by legislation. And I apologize for the background noise. There's construction in my building that just began. But they can only be solved by compromise and legislation. This is a purely political ploy to impeach Secretary Mayorkas because the border, you know, what's happening at the border has many varying causes, including American foreign policy in Latin America for the last several decades. So Secretary Mayorkas is not single-handedly responsible for what's happening there. We see there's decades of, you know, causes for this. And so, again, this is a political ploy. Trump has basically said he wants to prevent any sort of deal this year because he wants to use it as a weapon in the election. And I don't think it's a surprise that this is happening as the economy continues to improve and as people, consumers start to feel better and better about it. It's let with the economy sort of no longer, you know, clearly the far and away issue for people, Republicans need to give them another one, and that's the border.
It is. And we've seen this, you know, before over and over. Going to impeach a cabinet secretary is a bit of a twist on it. But again, there is a bipartisan group working on a way that would increase border security right now. And some people on the Republican side don't actually want to do it because it's an election year, which takes us to the other example we've talked about this week. And that is a bipartisan tax plan. And this one, too, is in jeopardy, although, to be fair, it's as much in jeopardy from people on the left as from the right, it seems, based around whether the child tax credit is, what, too low or too high?
Yeah, so the House passed a tax deal on Wednesday, I believe, that would expand the federal child tax credit, not quite to what it was, you know, when Biden passed it in 2021 as in the rescue plan, but expand it from what it is now in exchange for some, you know, business tax cuts. So obviously, Democrats support the child tax credit and want to make it more generous. Republicans support business tax cuts. I think where the issue is there's going to be a lot of hardline conservatives who oppose a child tax cut, and there's going to be a lot of progressives who oppose business tax cuts. And, you know, in my mind, one of those is a little more justified than the other, but we don't know how the Senate will take up this legislation or if they will pass it or not.
No. And I mean, it got, you know, no votes from folks like, you know, Gwen Moore here in Wisconsin as well, saying that it's, again, just not generous enough. Meanwhile, you've got Tom Tiffany saying that, you know, it's a massive expansion of the welfare state and other such nonsense. So is it therefore not liked enough by both sides that it could go forward? I don't know. I guess stay tuned is all we can really say about that too. Two different efforts at bipartisanship that just may or may not take place here. Let's look about something that did happen in a very concrete measure this week, and that is the negotiation of drug prices with big pharmaceutical companies by Medicare. And that was because something did get passed in Congress, albeit back when Democrats controlled the Congress, and this was part of the Inflation Reduction Act, right?
Exactly. So as part of that law, Democrats passed a Medicare drug negotiation provision, which effectively allows Medicare to negotiate down the cost of 10 expensive drugs that are really commonly used. We're talking things like Eliquis, which is a blood thinner. We're talking things like Jardiance and Xarelto. So these are drugs that Medicare is now negotiating with the drug makers on the cost of that Medicare will pay for, because, you know, these drugs cost seniors a lot of money in some cases. And so by reducing prices of these drugs, it'll save people money. And so this will go into effect, I believe it's in 2026. Yes, 2026. And then every year, 10 more, and then eventually 15 more. And so eventually there's going to be hundreds of drugs that are covered by this that will be life-changing for people. And this week marked the Biden administration sending offers. So, you know, there are lawsuits over this because, you know, surprise, surprise, pharmaceutical companies don't like having to give a crap about people and how much they pay for things. So, but, you know, it's moving forward right now.
And it is, again, it's proven to save money, not just for consumers, but for the taxpayers eventually. The same can be said for Medicaid expansion, something that still hasn't happened in Wisconsin, one of only 10. The rest are very, very red states. But maybe, when did we talk about it? Last week, North Carolina, it was Republican legislators who finally moved on expanding Medicaid there. Could this be happening in another state?
So potentially, but not because of Republican legislators. So in Florida, which is a Republican-dominated state, a group called Florida Decides Healthcare announced on Thursday that they're working to place Medicaid expansion on the ballot in Florida for 2026. So Republicans, like in Wisconsin, have refused to expand Medicaid in Florida. And even though there's about 1 million people there who would benefit from it and get covered, and it would be almost entirely covered by the federal government. So this is not, you know, a state level cost problem. It's a, we don't want to help people who might need help problem. And so this coalition is working to get enough signatures to place this on the ballot for 2026 to expand Medicaid. And, you know, we'll see if that happens. I'm sure, like they're trying to do with the abortion ballot, Florida Republicans will try everything to stop it. So, you know, today it's just the beginning of this. But, you know, within a few years, there is a chance that Florida could get expanded Medicaid.
And then one other state where Courier Newsroom has properties, that would be Arizona, where you'd find the Copper Courier, following something where, again, you've got conservatives in state government pushing for something that would never fly in a more mainstream era. But the Arizona superintendent is pushing for content from something called PragerU in Arizona classrooms. What's that about?
Yeah, so Arizona Superintendent Tom Horn is a far-right conservative. He announced a partnership this week with PragerU, which is basically a similarly far-right web outlet that creates online content to advance, quote, Judeo-Christian values. You know, that sounds totally innocuous, but their videos, you know, one of them includes Frederick Douglass. It's an animated video. He's the famous abolitionist, of course, where he tells children that slavery was a, quote, compromise, and that the founding fathers opposed slavery, even though many of them did have slaves, and then spreads the notion that the U.S. Civil War was fought over states' rights, you know, in a statement that I'm sure Nikki Haley would agree with. But, you know, this PragerU, this has happened in other states like Florida. These videos are not remotely accurate or educational. They are meant to subtly, and some cases not so subtly, you know, teach kids a right-wing ideology from a very young age.
They're propaganda. They're basically
propaganda.
And that's what an Arizona congressman said. PragerU does not belong in Arizona schools. It's masquerading as serious educational resources when in reality, it's unaccredited right-wing propaganda. And again, we don't have something quite like that at the Wisconsin level yet, but it's definitely worth following in some of these states where, again, if you're not paying attention, you never know what government could slip into what's educating your children.
Yeah, and it's scary. You know, it's not just Arizona, it's Florida. They have partnerships in Oklahoma, Montana, parts of Texas. You know, for all the talk from, you know, groups like Moms for Liberty about liberal indoctrination, there is no liberal equivalent to this. This is a right-wing group that has existed for years that, you know, understands that propaganda can work. And so they continue to double and triple down on it.
Yeah, I mean, it is just always projection with this bunch. And we're very thankful that folks like Kia Vakil follow that for us, along with all the other good people at Courier Newsroom. And go to couriernewsroom.com to learn more about Kia's newsletter and then, of course, his visits with us on Friday mornings. Kia, thanks very much. Have a great weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
Also, a comment came in on Facebook during the segment asking, Mary asks, does anyone or can anyone explain why nursing homes limit the Medicaid beds that they have? Now, I'm going to take a stab at this, but I want to caution you that there can be others who might correct me or, you know, expound on what I'm going to say. But the main reason is that Medicaid, for all of its many benefits, has a reimbursement rate that is just frankly too low. While there are instances of corporate medicine that charge ungodly amounts, quite the opposite is the case for Medicaid. And so entities have to put limits on how much they accept from Medicaid. And the best thing to do there would be to have elected officials who would set a Medicaid reimbursement rate more in line with, you know, what it costs for all of our many medical and healthcare providers to take care of them. And that, again, means you'd have to have people elected who want to preserve and protect Medicaid and affordable healthcare for people in Wisconsin and around the country. We will pause and have this day in history, a little history lesson, some musical memories, and tell you what's in today's daily newsletter from Up North News. Subscribe over at upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up right after this, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students,
your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-LakePoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
I'll light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.
Happy birthday to Graham Nash, who turns 82 today. Before there was a Crosby, Stills, Nash or a Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, he had founded the Hollies in 1962. We heard them a little bit earlier. He left that group in 1968. Christy Brinkley is 70 years old today. Former Packer Donald Driver is 49 years old today. It's also the birthday of somebody who you've heard something about her, but you don't really know her. But she is the baby that you hear crying at the start of Isn't She Lovely, this little Stevie Wonder tune. Just coming up. There we go. That's from the album version of Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder, singing about his firstborn child, his daughter Aisha, who was born on this day in 1975. On this day in 1973, NBC premiered The Midnight Special. It aired on Friday nights till 1981. Greg, age-wise, again, the old man always has to ask everybody else, is this in your wheelhouse or was it not a thing anymore? Because it was like the thing in the age right before music videos came out.
No, I mean, I caught repeats, and now especially in the age of YouTube, you can see a lot of clips from the Midnight Specials. Yes. But I think I was three.
it was canceled back then. Yeah, there was Johnny Carson, and then for a time there was, you know, Tom Snyder had the Tomorrow Show, which was rather cerebral. And then I want to say it was Fred Silverman, but one of these NBC execs got the idea to put on, you know, live music, put on some bands at midnight. And so it was one mighty popular show through the 70s. But then, much like video killed the radio star, MTV also killed the Midnight Special because everybody was into videos at that point. They didn't want to see people just standing there and singing.
I'd love to Thankfully, see a new now people Midnight Special. Be cool.
What's that?
Bring it back. There's no music on MTV.
Yeah, I would completely go for that. Would love to see that. Happy birthday to Shakira. She is 47 today.
Because Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise.
Shakira has been a public fixture since the age of 13 when she signed a record deal with Sony Music. Where she saw some talent there, and she is. Where did I just see? There is a larger than life size statue of her someplace. I don't know if it's a hometown or home country, but she is a legend well beyond the borders
Colombian?
Of the U.S.
I think she's Colombian.
Okay.
And
on this,
yeah, go on.
I was gonna say on this day in 1954, the Detroit Red Wings played the first outdoor hockey game by an NHL team. It was an exhibition match in Marquette, Michigan, against the inmates of the Marquette Branch Prison. They called themselves the Marquette Branch Prison Pirates. And challenged and took on the Detroit Red Wings. I don't have the score available here. I don't know how it turned out, but first time that you'd see an NHL team play an outdoor game. And I will admit, I still get a charge out of the annual Winter Classic. I forget how many years it's been around now, but I rather like when the NHL does their, you know, one game a year out in a, you know, a baseball or a football stadium. Especially that very first year where it was like nature rewarded it with snow falling during the game of these huge fat snowflakes that were coming down. I mean, it was real snow globe stuff, and really enjoyed watching that.
I got a score for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Marquette Prison Pirates 0, Detroit Red Wings 18.
18-0. Okay, well, it's an exhibition game.
That's a bagel.
By an NHL team.
That's a bagel.
Against inmates. So there's your sports. There's your final on the scoreboard today. And finally, the number one song this day in 1985 was by Foreigner. Now, I can only attribute this to song facts as Greg continues to provide interpretive dance moves for us. According to song facts, this is the first song with a gospel choir to top the chart.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, certainly not the first one to chart, but I guess of all of the number one, all the songs that hit number one, first one with a gospel choir in the background. And again, I'd love to know the story of that one. I don't know who the producer was or whoever, and said, I know what this needs, you know, in the background. So good on them. This is National Bubblegum Day. This is National Tater Tots Day.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet tots.
I just watched Napoleon Dynamite last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite was such a classic example of our daughters were teenagers at the time, or maybe preteen. And it's such a classic example of mom and dad see what their kids are watching and go, ugh, what is this? This is garbage. It's ick. Just dumb. And then the second time you see it and beyond, you're hooked.
That's
you're
exactly
in.
What I told Bridget. I told her the first time I saw that movie, I'm like, this is stupid. And then my friend talked to me about it, and he's like, gave me the background, and it's an independent film and all this stuff. I'm like, all right, I'll watch it again. And after we watched it the second time, I go, you guys want to watch it again?
We watched it so many more times after that. Yes,
oh,
once you're in, but you had to get past that first little bit of it. It's kind of like, you know, beautiful. For the Schitt's Creek, which is the name of a TV series.
Come at
Sherry
us.
Sherry and I had to restart that, like, four different times over the course of a year, because we were just, the first episode, we were like, I hate these people.
Yeah.
I hate that people said, no, it gets better. They get funnier. And we didn't believe them the second time and the third time. Then like the fourth time, we were like, oh, I see it now. Okay.
And then
we were hooked.
My mom had the same problem with Ted Lasso. She's like, I don't like the owner. She's so mean. I'm like, just keep going. You got to go through it. You got to press through. And then fourth episode, she goes, all right, I like this show now.
Yes, that's exactly it. Some things you have to listen to your friends when they recommend something like this.
Yep.
Give it a chance. This is, of course, February now, so this is a Wear Red Day for Women's Hearts, Women's Heart Health Month. This is National Ukulele Day, National Crepe Day, Catcher's Day, River Day, Sled Dog Day. There's just some days where you go, there's just too many of these days, but you're going to hear about these from somebody. It's World Wetlands Day. And somebody decided this is National Working Naked Day, which is exactly why those of you watching on Facebook see that we're not wearing a stitch of clothing right now.
Yep.
And we've now horrified anybody who doesn't know that we're simply making that up.
And my doctor has questions.
When we come back, Eric Wilson is going to be here wrapping up our candidate interviews with people running in the Democratic primary for the 3rd Congressional District later this year. That's coming up in our second hour and much more here.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Less calories and fat, and oh so delicious. It's what every light bread wants to be. Leave it to the bakers of Village Hearth to have the perfect recipes that pack goodness and flavor into every package while still keeping it trim. With Village Hearth light bread and buns, you can lighten up on the calories and fat without losing out on the great taste. There's simply more to savor and nothing to sacrifice. With our light wheat, light 12 grain, and light Italian bread and buns, there's a light, tasty favorite for everyone in the family. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.